For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show with me, Tim Fuel, back again with our weekly look at the world of non-league football. With Dave off on his travels once again, I'm afraid you're left with me, but some cracking guests as well. As the country moves deeper into lockdown, football is still allowed, and in many cases, with fans too. If you can, support your local non-league club. If circumstances means that can't be in the position as a fan on the terraces or in the stand, then see if there's a way you can support, either by financially buying some merchandise or a lottery ticket that supports your club, or giving an hour or so of your time once a week or whenever you can. Let's make sure that non-league football continues to be the heart of the community of so many places up and down this country. Let's get matters underway. So let's start the week's proceedings off with our favourite cup stat man. It's FA Cup weekend and it's the fourth qualifying round with the National League clubs entering the competition. So of course, we can turn to only one man, old friend of the show at FA Cup Fact Farm, Mr. Phil Annette. Welcome back, Phil.
Hi, Tim. Hi, how you doing?
I'm enjoying the sunshine. Hopefully, it the rain's not going to affect us too much over the weekend. We got 31 ties. The winners, I think, set to receive something like £9,375. 3-1-2-5 in the kitty for the losing clubs. Plus, of course, the fame of appearing in your stats roundups.
Yeah, I'm sure that's worth more than any prize money.
We're in it for the love of football, Phil. You know that. It's every week. It's not actually the prize money that the treasurers up and down the land are waiting. It's waiting to find out what stat their club have been dished out or what you've uncovered or dug deep and found, Phil. This is the fourth and final qualifying round, and as you mentioned last time, a bye for one club due to the demise of Macclesfield Town. And that lucky spot handed to Chorley as the last ball out in the north side of the draw.
Yeah, there's a fantastic result, if you like, for Chorley. That means it's the fourth time they've made it through to the first round in successive seasons. So hopefully they've got a chance to go to their second round equaling best run. But, you know, it's the first time we've had a bye in the fourth qualifying round since 1931-32 season.
I don't remember it personally.
Yeah, it last happened then when I think Newport County withdrew, having been relegated out of the Football League and also under investigation, I think, for some lottery scheme they ran. And Bath City were the beneficiaries back in that season. So, chance for Chorley to emulate that.
Yeah, so a bit of history there. We always like to look out for the lowest level club and see if they can create a bit of history. But the lowest ranked club, Step 5 Skelmersdale United, I believe, they've got a bit of a challenge at Stafford Rangers this next round.
Yeah, it's true, they do. They're away from home, which obviously isn't good for a team that's trying to get through to the first round. But at least they're playing a side that are a couple of levels below the top level. So, In theory, they may well have a chance to get through. Luckily, they're one of the few games where they are allowed to take some of their own fans. So, those two scenarios, they've got a chance. Stafford Rangers aren't doing very well, though, so it will be tough, but it's not as if they've drawn a National League side. They are the lowest-ranked team, and they have already won through five FA Cup rounds, having started off in the extra Premier round. So, that's the same number of games that the two FA Cup finalists will have to win to get to Wembley. So it's quite an achievement, in fact. And, you know, they haven't been further since the early 70s when I think 1971-72 was the last time they made it into the first round. And they are one of three clubs who have been waiting that long to try and get back to the chance to play a league team. You've got Tunbridge Angels, who 1972 last time they made it through, and Banbury United was back in 1973. So all those three teams are be looking to try and get their name into the first round with a chance to meet a league team again.
They're the stats that only you can find for us, Phil. They're the things that can. I was going to say, if you're out in the pub, you can impress your mates, but maybe in certain parts of the country, that's maybe not so much of a possibility, unless you've got a very small circle of friends in the modern era. Yeah. But obviously, you mentioned there about the fans and. The number of National League entrants and Step 2 clubs as well in this round, I mean, there's a number of games that are going to be played behind closed doors, and that affects a bit of the magic of the FA Cup.
Well, I think it does. I think it affects football full stop. You only have to look at some of the crazy results that have been happening in the Premier League, etc., to know that without fans, you just don't get the normal kind of game. It is a shame. Lots of teams at this stage for the first time in their history and also looking to make history by getting to the first round, and nobody can see them do it if they do achieve it. I think there's only 10 of the games where there actually will be fans in attendance.
Yes, and that takes a bit of the gloss off getting the media attention from further afield as well for this round of the FA Cup, which is so important and so exciting for those that are involved or love their non-league football. And of course, we even have previous FA Cup winners in this round too. Notts County away at King's Lynn Town.
Yeah, it is very, very unusual to have a former Cup winner playing in a qualifying round. Hasn't happened since prior to World War One, apart from Notts County doing so last season. Notts County have never failed to be in the proper rounds of the competition in 133 campaigns. So there's a lot riding on the game for them. It won't be easy. They'll be struggling to get through there, but hopefully, for them, they can maintain their unblemished record.
And again, that's going to be one of those games that looks so great on paper, and most of us are going to have to enjoy it on paper as well, because without the fans.
Yeah, I mean, King's Lynn Town is also obviously a National League side, pitting themselves against the equal opposition, but interestingly, King's Lynn Town have never gone beyond this round before, so they've got a lot to play for themselves.
So I talk week in, week out about the importance of volunteering and helping out at your football club. If you're one of those volunteers, these games are played behind closed doors, but there does still need to be a small team of people to make sure that this game can get on, whether that's looking after the stand, looking after the players, making sure that everything runs smoothly, that you really are in a privileged position, which is rightly so, at this round of the FA Cup, when history could be being made?
Well, yeah, many teams are, as I said, trying to get through to the first round for the first time. There's several ties where both sides, either side wins, they would equal their best ever run. So you've got, I think you've got Eastbourne Borough and Dulwich Hamlet, who are meeting for the third successive season. Both of which have only ever made it as far as the first round before. And then you've got the game I'm going to, actually. It's at Banbury United versus Bury Town. It's another tie where both clubs have made the first round in the past, but never gone further. But the game will guarantee that one of them will equal their best run. And then you've got a team like Mask United, who, even though they're a Northern Premier League side, did actually start their campaign back in the extra Premier Round 2. One of the few teams from that Step 4 who had to begin earlier than the others, and they're still going, but they've never been beyond this round before, so they'll be looking to try and pull off a coup at Blackley Town and write another chapter for themselves in their FA Cup history.
There's plenty of history going to be made then. Looking for the headlines, I guess the Surrey media will be looking at the National League derby of Aldershot and Woking, but I think Hemel Hempstead Town in their 100th entry of the FA Cup. I picked that stat up off of you, Phil, so I hope you don't mind. Hosting Hampton and Richmond Borough. Just for anybody that did listen to the FA Cup draw this week, that's not a local derby. unless you're in Australia, and then I can understand that it's probably fairly local. But it's a big game for both the clubs anyway.
Well, they're quite close together in the dictionary of teams. But other than that, no. Yeah, Hemel Hempstead in the 100th campaign could get through to equal their best ever run there up against Hampton and Richmond Borough. They actually last met back in the 60s in the FA Cup, which Hampton and Borough, and Richmond Borough were known as Hampton. And you know, it's quite a long time to wait to avenge an FA Cup defeat. But yeah, it should be quite a tight game. Very interesting one there. Both both would actually equal their best run if they won that game. So another one of those games where there's a lot riding on it.
I can assure anybody that's new to non-league football that non-league fans have long memories. That'll be in that defeat will still be in someone's memory box somewhere, and they'll be, you know, hoping for the result of results on that one. One that leaps off the paper to me, a potential cup set, maybe Dagenham and Redbridge at home to Hartley Whitney. They won't be expecting. Not too many people expecting them to get a result away from home, but it is one of those that, in the current climate, who knows what the outcome will be.
Well, yeah, the away team have got as much chance as the home side in games nowadays when there's no fans. Hartley and Whitney will be hoping they'll perform a bit better than the last time they made it to the stage where they were quite well beaten, I think 5-0 or 6-0. So hopefully for them, they can achieve history for the club themselves and get through to the first round, but it will be very tough at Dagenham, I think.
Yeah, I know we've mentioned about the lack of fans at many of these games, but at least we do have two ties on the TV this time around. The BBC iPlayer have gone with the Ilkeston Town against Hartlepool United, and BT Sports showing Bishop Stortford and St Albans City on Monday night.
Yeah, so that's a fantastic draw for Ilkeston Town, only in their second ever FA Cup campaign and all the way through to the fourth qualifying round. And then they draw a plum tie against Hartlepool United, who themselves haven't been knocked out at this stage since the early 20s. So it's quite a reasonable choice for the BBC to make, I think, for a potential upset. The Bishop Stortford versus St Albans tie on Monday will coincide with the first round draw being made just before the game kicks off. Could be regarded as a local derby, I suppose. They have met one time before. I think Bishop Stortford won that game 2-1 back in 2007. So even though they're now the lower level team, having home advantage may well be enough to see them defeat their local neighbours.
Well, there's only, as I said, 31 ties this round, but there does seem to be an abundance of stats, and I'm sure you'll keep people on their toes as well in the coming days ahead of the games and then after the games with even more. But where can people find out more about your great work and the fact file, Phil?
Yeah, they can follow me on Twitter at FA Cup Fact File, or you can find out my previews of the fourth qualifying round. An overview and a tie-by-tie preview on my blog, which is on wordpress.com/FA Cup Fact File.
Well, Phil, we wish you well. We hope you enjoy your day out with the fans at Banbury, and no doubt we'll be speaking to you again very, very soon. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thanks so much. Bye.
So let's keep with that FA Cup theme then. A club that's had its fair share of success in recent seasons in other ways, but they could be an FA Cup story unfolding this season. They've never made the first round proper, and in their way, the might of Torquay United. But this is the FA Cup this season. It's a pleasure to welcome back to the Non-League Football Show Dave Diper, manager at Sholing FC.
How are you, mate? All right?
I'm good, Dave. Now, yeah, I've mentioned you've had some success in the past. You won the FA Vase at Wembley, like Mr. Anderson. In non-league terms, they don't get much better than that. But does the FA Cup still have a certain magic for you?
Yeah, it certainly does. The FA Vase is obviously pretty special. But the FA Cup is, you've only got to take our last game against Bolton Casuals, you know. Floodlight failure, that whole thing, you know, a whole episode of different events happened. But it's nothing quite like the FA Cup, and to be sort of playing Torquay United is, they are the biggest team we've actually played. So it'd be a good test for myself and the players together, really.
Yeah, I was going to mention that last round. A 5-2 win over Walton Casuals, which is a great result in its own, but I think there were two floodlight failures, weren't there? It added an extra 90 minutes to the evening, effectively. Did you think it was never going to get finished?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I'm a sparky as well, which didn't help, because I was in between trying to sort the lads out and get them some screwdrivers to disconnect fuse box, etc. So, yeah, it was, we've got to, you know, I must say to everybody, that we've got a backup generator for this game on Saturday as well. So, I mean, we've really sort of like learned lessons from the last round. But no, it had everything that game, you know. I mean, we were particularly good on the night against a good team going forward, you know. So, but that's, like I say, the joys of the FA Cup. We're all looking forward to it. Obviously, you know, Torquay United are a top side and we're under no illusions how tough it's going to be. But you've got that self-belief if you can win it and do self-justice. Because on the day, we're a good side as well.
Indeed, and when things like that go your way, like in that last round there, you maybe think it's going to be your season.
Yeah, I mean, 1 or 2 points lead to that opinion. Obviously, you know, the problem we've got at the moment with the club is really sort of consistency, you know, because we are blowing really hot and then pretty cold. But everybody will be up for the game, obviously, on Saturday. We're expecting a crowd of well over sort of about 400. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to the game and see what it brings.
Yeah, as you say, it's probably the biggest game that you've been able to host at Sholin, but that 400 sellout, it's limited because your step four limits, obviously, and that's without the fans of Torquay United being allowed in as well. You possibly could have sold five times as many as well. When you're playing a big game like this and Yeah, it's limited by the number of players, the number of fans. I'm sure the players probably would have wanted to bring another host of friends as well along to the game. Does it take a little bit of the gloss off of that game when you're trying to get in the right frame of mind to play it?
Yeah, I mean, it probably affects Torquay more than us because, I mean, we're used to sort of having crowds of about 150, really. So 400 is tremendous from our point of view. But obviously, when it comes to Torquay, they're probably used to playing in front of, you know, maybe, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000. But, yeah, it does affect the day, I think. But, you know, we're just grateful to be where we are. And, you know, I say the tickets sold out within 48 hours. So it's a very popular game. You know, our intention is to try and still be in the game after 20 minutes. So I'll say that to our team, no matter who we're playing, to be honest with you. Get settled into the game as much as we can. But, you know, I just looked at some clips on YouTube and I turned it off pretty quick because it's pretty frightening stuff. They move the ball around really quick and, you know, we have got to be at our best really to sort of compete with them on Saturday. But I'd say we've got that self-belief and our own ability. You know, we won we won the FA Vars back in 2014 and that was 8 games of tremendous, not stress, but it was excitement and passion and the rest of it. We've got to show that in our game on Saturday.
Yeah, and going into it, I mean, you've already won silverware this week. The late Hampshire County Cup final, I believe. So that's got to give you a little bit of an extra boost as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it does. I mean, we played in the FA Trophy and got beat 2-0 by Wantage. And we played Tuesday night against Lincoln Town. We won that 1-0 to win our first cup of this, well, last season, really, to finish off, really. But yeah, it's good to get some, you know, some silverware. That's the main thing for the club because we've won quite a few trophies over the years, and it was quite pleasing the other night. Although that said, we possibly could have done with a rest in between last Saturday and this Saturday, but it is what it is, and we'll go with what we've got on Saturday.
Yeah, and of course, yeah, you're still known as Mr. Sholing. You share more of the duties nowadays. I think it's 5 years now that you've been without the weight of the chairmanship on your shoulders as well. Have you been able to concentrate more on the managerial stuff as you'd hoped, and are you enjoying football as much?
I'm loving football, but I mean, I sold my businesses, luckily enough, probably 3-4 weeks before the lockdown. So that was a great time to sell business. But I've been literally up there every day since, you know. It's like a full-time job for me. There's so much to sort out. But I must say, you know, games like this, it's amazing the amount of volunteers. You know, you really sort of like, got very thankful for the volunteers. There's probably about a dozen people, that's all, but they're really putting the effort in to get this game on and to make sure, you know, we're good hosts for the day, which is very important. Because irrespective of the score, we want to, you know, put a good showing on for the club.
Yeah, and I've been banging on about this, pretty much all summer and then since we've been back this season as well. The volunteers really are coming into their own this season because at clubs like yours, we're allowed fans. It's a very stressful occasion. Any match is a stressful occasion, but with the new COVID regime, I know you've got a great COVID officer there as well, and all the new procedures have to be in place, particularly for a big game like this. It's great to have a big occasion, but People have to realise that it's not easy getting these games on.
Well, it's not. You know, we rely on about a dozen volunteers, and week in, week out, they're doing the business and they're working hard. And it's what remind the players, to be honest with you, because obviously, you know, we're paying wages like most. And you know, I just say to the guys that if we have a poor performance, you know, I just like question their intensity on the pitch and the rest of it. It's all backed up. It's, you know, we've got to work hard, not only just for our fans, but obviously to do with the guys behind the scene, because, you know, it's a tremendous amount of work done by these people. And to be honest with you, I mean, without those people, we wouldn't be around.
Yeah, and football wouldn't be around either. I mean, it's, I think, yeah, I've mentioned you, Mr. Scholing. It was about 2 years ago, I think, when we spoke to you after 1,000 games in charge. Do you know where you are now?
Yeah, I think it's, well, I've been told anyway. I don't obviously make a record.
Have you not got a big calendar, one of those like cartoon things that you cross off?
I think Gary Johnson is probably just playing against a team with a manager which is like 6 months older than what he is. I've been around a long time, very experienced and rested. But, you know, I think it's 1,117, I think. So it's a lot of games, obviously, but I'm still fresh. I'm still eager. I've got, you know, expectations I expect from the players, but also I recognise the limitations as well. It's really important. It's, the main thing is everybody goes out and does their best. You know, it's great if you're a player. You're tested against a better opposition. I love it. I love being the underdogs anyway. You know, we're the underdogs in the FA Vars final. I just think really it's going to be a great day, great occasion. Good for the local community of Scholing, to be honest with you. You know, because Southampton Football Club are great friends of ours as well, and I know we've had a communication for them, wishing us good luck as well. So, you know, the whole city's behind us, and long may the run continue.
Yeah, you mentioned the. You know, you've got a bigger crowd than you'd normally expect. There's lots of media attention for you because it's a big game. It's a, you know, there's a chance of a cup set as well. Do you think that's going to be good for the club too, going forward for the rest of the season when fans aren't allowed in at other clubs as well?
Yeah, I think so. Although I must admit, I feel for clubs like Torquay and Eastleigh in particular, because obviously they're local. They need fans back in. Football needs fans back in. I know there's been money, you know, through the pyramids for the National League, but this football's not the same without crowds. And even if you're watching it live on TV now, it's still not the same. You need crowds back, and I think the sooner the government gets that sorted out, the better.
Yeah, and there's obviously, yeah, you're allowed to allow fans in, but it must have an impact on the way that you're able to do the football business as well, or the COVID regime. You know, you have some lengthy trips across to the southwest, you know, at least once a month, I would have thought. So that must have an additional burden on the players and well, your unit as a family, as you've always spoken about, Scholing.
Yeah, that's right. Because obviously the player safety comes into consideration. That's number one. Obviously, we've done a good job. We've done as much as we can. Obviously, players need to have that responsibility as well. The luxury of, you know, testing everywhere, etc. But, you know, provide everybody the responsibility to keep taking samples. I don't see it much of an issue going forward, but it is a little bit going to different areas. You know, going to West Country, you know, you're going to find places like that, Biddeford. I know the problems are more north than south, but it's a general problem with the game at the moment, and it's just one more hurdle which clubs have got to try and jump across, basically.
Yeah, and we've mentioned it before. It's not just you that's been there for a lifetime, effectively, but lots of the players too. There are plenty of triple figure appearances amongst your squad there. Obviously, managers go on for slightly longer than players. Are you going to run out of room in the back room to bring these players into the coaching staff now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have got players reaching 650 appearances, etc. Scholing's a very sort of it's a one-off club. You know, I mean, I've had, you know, five or six players from the age of 16 onwards, and you know, some of these players are now into their early 30s, and But there's one thing, there's a code of conduct, there's a code of honour, and it's about enjoying your football. I'm sure that all players which top badge should enjoy their football, because it shows in the game, you know. And I think that's where the loyalty comes in, because loyalty is one of those words not used nowadays. But one thing, it's I'm very thankful for the players and the fans, obviously, you know. The ultras are brilliant, you know. There might be only a few of them, but they're certainly very vocal, and it does make a difference, you know, on a Saturday.
And we're always very thankful to get you on the Non-League Football Show, Dave. Thanks for giving us a bit of time. But best of luck with the big occasion on Saturday, and fingers crossed you can get a result too.
Yeah, thanks very much for that, you know. Really appreciate, you know, everything that you do as well, because Non-League Football is great to have programmes like yours back on and supporting grassroots football.
A few little problems with Dave's line there. Sounded like the water had got to the local area in Sholing. Hopefully it'll be nice and dry, well, at least not as wet as it has been, so they can get that game on Saturday. One thing I didn't mention to Dave is it's part of the magic of the FA Cup that clubs like Sholing, who have, I remember when they dropped down out of Step 4 into Step 5 again, just because of the costs and trying to restructure the club and make sure that the club stayed alive and continued for years to come. And then they've come back up into Step 4, and now they've got this prize game in the FA Cup against Torquay United. Unfortunately, not in front of the crowd and in front of the fans that we would have hoped. But there is that magic of the FA Cup. Then there is the opportunity that they might create a cup set this weekend. So let's round off this week then with the rest of this week's non-league news. Well, not a lot of news actually. It's back over to the non-league paper towers, and a welcome back to the non-league football show to David Richardson, senior writer at the non-league paper. Hello, David.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. It's a busy week. We've got FA Cup ahead of us. We'll discuss about some of that in a minute. The FA Trophy draw as well. I guess the big news of the week is probably that it finally looks like the National League clubs know how much of this government support they're going to be receiving.
Yeah, that's right. It's perhaps been the news that they've been waiting for in terms of how much they're going to be getting. Of course, it was always a case, really, of securing the money in the first place, and then it was going to be this issue of how it was divided, and the way that it has been divided, it has caused some issues amongst clubs. Without going into sort of too much detail, I imagine sort of most people sort of know the situation. Effectively, sort of the more well supported clubs have been left short, really, of the money that would have been getting in through gate receipts and their crowds. And there's several clubs out there who really aren't sort of pleased with the way it's been done and to be looked at again.
Yeah, it was always going to be one of those where you're never going to please everybody all of the time. Effectively, there is like a two-tier system, isn't there, within the different steps. So some of the, bigger clubs, more well-supported or whatever the criteria it was based upon, are going to get more money than some of the smaller clubs. But I've also seen some people saying, maybe that's not a good thing either, because it's creating more divide between the haves and have-nots.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, really, the tiered system, like you say, it's sort of fairly few and sort of far between, really. I mean, it's not a major sort of difference. And effectively, it's sort of like a blanket across the leagues. Seven National League clubs receiving £95,000 a month, and the other 16 getting £84,000 a month. And then five National North and South clubs getting 36,000, and the other 37 getting 30. So, there isn't really that much of a difference if you are in that top tier, and that is where the issue is, basically, because, you've got a club like Notts County, who averaged around sort of 4,000 or 5,000 fans last season, and then you've got a club of boring with sort of nature, who, you know, they're disrespect to them, but obviously, you know, get around 700 last season. And clearly, you know, that money will cover what Boreham would lose. But, you know, then they've got this surplus. And, you know, I think effectively the part of the problem is that it damages the competition in the way that Boreham would, you know, could go out and now and spend the rest of that money on a couple of new players and it will improve their team, and that's not what the money is actually for. The money is for what was lost in through gate receipts. That's what the government wanted it to be used for. But you know, clearly some clubs will have more than they would have hoped for, and some clubs have less. So that's where the issue is really. And there seems to be a bit of radio silence at the moment from the National League in terms of that. You know, and like I said, clubs are calling for it to be looked at before the FA start dishing it out, because it could well be a case of, you know, the money gets sent out to these clubs, and, you know, a Hungerford Town does spend it on three new players, and then, you know, you can't then say, oh, we're changing it and we want the money back, because, you know, they'll say, well, we've spent it. So it's another mess, really. And you know, it's a big shame that it sort of comes to this, to be honest, because once again, we're still sort of talking again about the off-field issues rather than what's going on the field. And I sort of feel like this could have been avoided. As I say, perhaps there's a reason for the way it's been done like this, but, you know, we haven't heard it yet. And so what can you sort of really do, to be honest, other than sort of draw your own conclusions at the moment?
Yeah, and I mean, it's something that we spoke about, I think, when the country first went down into lockdown, when the last season froze, stopped, finished, and started again in certain areas, and the leagues and the authorities needed to have these discussions and work out, you know, the philosophy, the strategy, and how, you know, things could be solved. And I know that the situation's moved on since, and it's a thankless task to be there. But I think, you know, another thing they've got to understand, and you mentioned the radio silence there, is that at the end of the day, they're there for those clubs as well. And what we don't want to do is non-league self-destructing and taking itself on.
Well, that's the thing. It does sort of almost feel like that a little bit. Like you say, it has sort of felt a bit like that throughout this last 6 or 7 months, to be honest, Tim. And yeah, it is sort of sad we're perhaps sort of talking about these things, really. But like you say, they shouldn't go on. We shouldn't ignore them and sort of stray away from it. You know, obviously the clubs that will benefit will, you know, will probably stay silent. You know, that is probably the truth of it. You know, you'd like to think that maybe they would stick up for you know, the likes of Notts County and Maidstone and Dulwich, and support them. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that Christmas has come early for them, and you know, you're not sort of in a position where you want to really, you know, hand back this sort of money, to be honest. So, yeah, it's not really sort of been a great sort of 48 hours for the National League, to be honest.
Yeah, and it's one of those that where, yeah, I'm adamant that the clubs, even before this crisis this year, and you know, clubs need to look at themselves as a business nowadays, because, you know, there's so many different things that clubs need to consider. Fans at the heart, of course, but then you get situations like this, and this, as you say, the sensible business head is, if you're benefiting, you sit back and you deal with it quietly and move on. But it's not as if non-league's alone in this, because we're seeing it in the higher echelons of the game as well. And again, not wanting to hang certain people out to dry, but maybe this is where we need some leadership higher up from the FA and the football authorities to try and guide football into the future, really.
Yeah, I think it does seem to be one of the perhaps issues with National League distribution of the funds, is how exactly it was determined and who sort of played what role in sorting that out. Obviously, the money's come via the Football Association and through the National Lottery Funds, which is, you know, ultimately sort of government money. So there's sort of a few different stakeholders involved. But, yeah, it does seem a bit unclear how exactly it's been decided like this and sort of who's been having the main sort of say in the discussion. And that's where really, you know, particularly with people on the National League board who are club representatives and club chairmen and chief executives, that's perhaps where you do need an independent body deciding on these things. I know that's something that's been sort of put out there in the last sort of couple of weeks with Project Big Picture and things like that, and sort of other people throwing ideas. And Gary Neville, I think, was sort of leading the case for an independent sort of organisation to oversee football. But yeah, I don't know. I sort of always think it's perhaps difficult to get these sort of changes through, really. And I know that's a pretty bleak way of looking at it, but I often think that sort of, you know, football's set in its ways at times, and to, in order to sort of generate change like that, it's very difficult.
It is very difficult to get change through at any level of football, and you understand why. But now this may be the opportunity that the world's on its head, and I feel like we're particularly in football, we're a bit like one of those beetles that you find on its back in the summer. It just needs a slight nudge just to help it over, because yeah, we've got this discussion going on at National League, but then I see some statistics that people that various people have been doing across social media in the recent week about attendances at clubs at step three level, where fans are allowed in, but they're limited to the 600, I believe, at phase two, as we're at now. It's step four, it's 400. And there's actually clubs that are considerably below on their crowds, which, again, is affecting their revenue, but there isn't a similar handout for levels down below. So we understand there's ongoing debate, but again, football's already underway and football's in this hole now, and we need a way of getting ourselves out of it.
Yeah, that's right. I know the step three and sort of below clubs have sort of been trying to push for a similar sort of government package or sort of funds like that. Obviously, South Shields, I think, put out something today along with Scarborough as well, and FC United of Manchester are sort of three clubs who are very much sort of affected by that capacity limit. You know, I think I said last week, Mark Harris had been written in the non-league paper saying about how, you know, they'd sort of applied and sort of put forward their case for similar sort of funding as the National League have had. So yeah, it's one of many things and organisations and services, I suppose, that is looking for this government funding at the moment. And you know, it's not just football and sport that is requiring these things. So yeah, very difficult situation at the moment, and really I think probably the only sort of hope that clubs have at the moment is that they're allowed to keep their gates open and keep having fans in effectively, because I think the worst case scenario is clearly things getting shut down, and you know, we already know that behind closed doors football at step three and below, without any sort of funding, which seems to be fairly distant, you know, is simply not possible to do. And the step three and four leagues made their case very clear before the season started that you know, they wouldn't start if it was behind closed doors. So I guess, yeah, at the moment, sort of the situation is really just hoping that they're allowed to keep letting supporters in. But, you know, with the different tiers across the country and different issues locally, you know, that looks very much in risk, I think.
Yeah, and we've also then got the government advice and the encouragement of not to get fans to travel as well, which has a further impact on it. And we should be really excited. It's the big round of the FA Cup for non-league clubs. The fourth round qualifying is the big carrot, the big dangly one in front of everybody. And I think more than half of the games, we're not going to be able to have fans there, so they're not going to be able to enjoy it. And as much as the live streams are helping fans to stay in contact with their clubs, it's not quite the stardust that turning up on the terraces normally is.
Yeah, exactly. A big shame, particularly, I think, on, like you say, an FA Cup fourth qualifying round weekend. And, you know, it's such a great chance for clubs to get into that first round where you could have one of those big ties. And yeah, they you know, might not be able to see their teams or making history or having a great result in the cup. And you know, there's some really good ties this weekend. You know, there's plenty of all National League ties. Aldershot against Woking, which is a local derby. But then you've got Torquay United going to Sholing, which is a really great tie for them, and their manager Dave Diver, who's taken over. He's been in charge for over 1,000 games there, and you know, has obviously won the Vars back in 2014, and has sort of such a great history with the club. And you know, they're vying for a place in the first round proper for the first time ever. So there's loads of different storylines really, and as I say, it's a shame that, you know, supporters won't be at these matches. It's a sort of bad time to be a football fan at the moment, really. And you know, it sounds a bit ridiculous saying it, but you almost sort of want a season when your team's not really sort of up to much, really. You know, you don't want to see a team always get to Wembley, but not be able to be there with them and supporting them. And you know, having these great cup runs, it's you know, I think it would still be a great occasion for a non-league club to go to the likes of a Sunderland or Portsmouth in the first round of the FA Cup this year. But at the same time, you know, you'll be playing in an empty stadium. You wouldn't be getting the sort of gate receipts from that. Obviously, they'll be sharing the streaming, but it's not quite the same amount of people on board with that. So, yeah, sort of a bit of a bittersweet weekend coming up, but probably one that sort of enforces the sort of situation that football and the country is in at the moment.
Yeah, well, the draw on Monday, ahead of that final game of the four qualifying round, it's going to be an interesting one, because normally it's full of non-league managers, you know, itching for that draw against a league opposition. There's a chance that, unless non-league gets drawn against non-league, that the whole of the first round of the FA Cup will also be played behind closed doors. It really, yeah, it's already a season to remember for many of the wrong reasons. But it's going to be a year where the FA Cup. I just hope it doesn't take a back seat when non-league clubs progress and they're unable to take their fans or have their fans within the ground.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. I think it's sort of been a bit debate sort of for a few years, hasn't it, really, about sort of the FA Cup losing some of its sparkle, perhaps in the sort of later rounds and sort of higher up in the pyramid of things. But there's certainly no doubting what it still means for non-league clubs. And teams sort of lower down the pyramid, it's you know, I think without them, clearly the competition wouldn't be as sort of famous as it is, really. And it is the involvement of non-league clubs that make it what it is, as we've seen over and over, year after year. So you kind of hope that, you know, it won't take too much away from it, but it, all the same, it is difficult when, you know, you don't have the crowds in, you don't have the sellouts and everything that goes with that. And, you know, those sort of Monday night games that they have on BBC One where you're sort of expecting an upset and there's, you know, a massive crowd in there. You know, speaking to Sterling last week,
You know, they were saying, you know, they'll sell out the 400 fans that they're allowed in. But, you know, had it been last season, they'd have been hoping for three or four times as many as that, with, you know, Torquay's following as well. So, you know, that's the impact it's having on clubs at the moment, and competitions as well, I guess, with the FA Cup.
Yeah, it's still much to be positive and excited about, though. We have the FA Trophy draw this week as well, and I'm sure we'll speak more about that next week, because the rounds are coming thick and fast, and that they'll be play next week, and it's still a competition that means a lot to the clubs that are involved there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Another chance to get to Wembley, which certainly shouldn't be sniffed at. And as you say, cup competitions coming thick and fast. One week it's the Vars, next it's the FA Cup, now it's the trophy. It's a lot for clubs to take in at once, but like you say, it certainly shouldn't be put to one side, really. And there's always still the prize money aspect to it as well, and even the sort of publicity it can generate and give a community as well. I think probably, you know, people need that sort of enjoyment from a cup run, and, you know, taking on teams in higher divisions and things like that. And undoubtedly, the trophy is another opportunity to see more of that. So, as you say, we look forward to the trophy again next weekend. And, soon comes around quickly, the FA Trophy first round. And, won't be long till we're at that stage.
Yeah, and again, on a positive note, I would like to mention the competitive football being back at Basingstoke. We've spoken to Terry Brown and followed their story about losing the ground at the Camrose, and there's various things going on about the Camrose redevelopment and what's going on there. But they are in the Winkelbury ground, which the home of the Hampshire FA, and they've done all the works that need to be done, and this Saturday the first competitive game at Winkelbury, and it turned out to be a top of the table clash, because they've got the AFC Totten, who I think are top, and Basingstoke, I think, are second at the moment in that division at step four. It's a big game, but again, the COVID regulations mean that that's also a sellout with a limit of the 400 people.
Yeah, great for football to be back there. You know, know how much the club sort of struggled, really, in that great saga about the Camrose. And it seems such a shame that, for now at least, they won't be playing there. You do hope that there's some way back, but I'm not too sure, what sort of the chances are of that, really. A club like Basingstoke, it's, always amazing the sort of thing, how far they've fallen, and it just goes to show what can happen to a club like that. But, hopefully at Winkelbury, it will be the start of a new era, and then they can start building up again. And like you say, good that they've got a sellout crowd there too.
Yeah, so lots of exciting FA Cup stuff. There's plenty going on in the league, as we mentioned there in the Southern League. What else can we expect to read in this weekend's paper, David?
Yeah, so plenty of match action as always, but we've got features with Ben Strevens at Eastleigh, who have started well in the last league. At Hartlepool, who have also started well. I also had a chat with Darren Curry, the former Barnet manager, who took them to the playoffs last season, and how eager he is to get back into management. We've got a bit on Tamworth as well. Andy Smart pens the latest column. We'll also have all of the reaction to the National League funding split, and the views of some of the aggrieved clubs regarding that decision. There's also a bit on Woking's American possible takeover, which is an interesting one, and certainly sort of almost sort of out of the blue a little bit, really. But it certainly seems like American investors are taking an interest in non-league football. Of course, Nigel Travers going to Leyton Orient and getting them back into the Football League, and also Tim Howard and co at Dagenham, who are certainly trying to put their mark on the club as well. So that's one to look out for. But
also all the latest fixtures, results, tables, and everything like that as well. So yeah, loads in there again this weekend.
So definitely worth getting up for on a dreary, cold, wet Sunday morning when the clocks have gone
absolutely.
Back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
David, thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show. We'll speak to you again soon.
Cheers, Tim.
Well, that's about all we've got time for, and then that's it for this week. Only it's not, because I'm now adding this postscript late on in Thursday evening, because after we recorded the show and recorded the great stuff with FA Cup fact father Phil Annetts, we learnt of Notts County having to withdraw from the Emirates FA Cup and postponing the forthcoming Vanarama National League matches as well to Halifax Town and Aldershot Town due to two more players having tested positive for COVID-19. Correct reason to not be able to play football, and safety and well-being of everybody at the heart of it all again. But it does... It says a lot about the season and the problems that clubs are facing. Clubs at the National League level, like Notts County, are clearly probably got a greater testing regime than other clubs further down the pyramid. They're just relying on symptoms and any asymptomatic stuff are going by the wayside. So it does say much about the position that football's in. Yeah, we know that we're privileged to be able to get some fans in at certain levels to watch games, and I know that we've suggested that, you know, we need to get as many fans in as possible, but we also need to understand that we're in the middle of a pandemic, and football at times like this have to take a position on the sidelines for even if it's just a temporary measure. Hopefully it will be. So thank you to all of our guests this week. Thank you to all of you for listening wherever you may be. Don't forget you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Dave Anderson's there at Dave Anderson 78. Myself at Tim Fuel, TimFuell. Plus, of course, you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, via your smart speakers, all good podcast aggregation sites. There's a few more radio-y type app things as well. I'll list them out in future that we're now listed on as well. Take a look across all of those sites as well for the Non-League Gaffer Tapes archive. Hopefully we'll be able to bring that back to you very soon, with Dave Anderson socially distancing but still being able to see the whites of the eyes of the managers featured there. So just 30 FA Cup ties this weekend in the fourth round qualifying. If you manage to get to a game, please do enjoy it. And if you can't, please remember to support your non-league club in any way you can. Stay alert, stay safe. Thank you and goodbye.
A Jibber Jabber production. JIBBA. JABBA. Thank you.